Armstrong and Earl Hines once again from an album that has been reissued on Columbia Records. Well, this is Fresh Air, and coming up in just a couple of minutes, we meet Tom Waits. Right now, we'll hear from his album Small Change, Step Right Up.
Step right up. Step right up. Step right up. Everyone's a winner, bargains galore. That's right, you two can be the proud owner. The quality goes in before that name goes on. One-tenth of a dollar, one-tenth of a dollar. We got service after the sale. How about perfume? We got perfume. How about an engagement ring? Some for the little lady, some for the little lady, some for the little lady. $3-4. We got a year-end clearance, we got a white sale, and a smoke-damaged furniture, you can drive it away today. Act now, and receive as our gift to you. They come in all colors, one size fits all. No muss, no fuss, no spills, you tired of kitchen drudgery, everything must go. Going out of business, going out of business, going out of business sale. 50% off original retail price, skip the middle man. Don't settle for less. How do we do it? How do we do it? Volume, volume, turn up the volume. You heard it advertised. Don't hesitate. Don't be caught with your drawers down. Don't be caught with your drawers down. You can step right up. Step right up. That's right, it fillets and chops and dice and slices. Never stops. Lasts a lifetime. Mows your lawn. And it mows your lawn. And it picks up the kids from school. It gets rid of unwanted facial hair. It gets rid of embarrassing age spots. It delivers a pizza. And it lengthens, and it strengthens, and it finds that slipper that's been at large under the chaise lounge for several weeks. And it plays a mean rhythm master. It makes excuses for unwanted lipstick on your collar. And it's only a dollar, step right up. It's only a dollar, step right up. Cause it forges your signature. Not completely satisfied, mail back unused portion of product for complete refund of price of purchase. Step right up. Please allow 30 days for delivery. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. You can live in it, laughing it, loving it, swimming it, sleeping it, living it, swimming it, laughing it, loving it. Remove embarrassing stains from contour sheets. That's right. And it entertains visiting relatives. It turns a sandwich into a banquet. Tired of being the life of the party. Change your shorts, change your life. Change your life. Change into a 9-year-old Hindu boy. Get rid of your wife. And it walks your dog. Doubles on sacks. Doubles on sacks. You can jump back, Jack. See you later, alligator. See you later, alligator. And it steals your car. It gets rid of your gambling debts. It quits smoking. It's a friend. It's a companion. It's the only product you will ever need. Follow these easy assembly instructions. It never needs ironing. Well, it takes weights off hips, bust, thighs, chin, midriff, gives you dandruff. And it finds you a job. It is a job. And it strips the phone company free tape and for private exchange. Gives you denture breath, and you know it's a friend, and it's a companion, and it gets rid of your traveler's checks. It's new, it's improved, it's old-fashioned. Well, it takes care of business, never needs binding, never needs binding, never needs binding. Gets rid of blackheads, heartbreaker, psoriasis, Christ, you don't know the meaning of heartbreak, buddy. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Cause it's effective, it's defective, it creates household odor. It disinfects, it sanitizes for your protection. It gives you an erection, it wins the election. Why put up with painful corns any longer? It's a redeemable coupon, no obligation, no salesman will visit your home. We got a jackpot, jackpot, jackpot. Prizes, 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 all work guaranteed. How do we do it? 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 We need your business. We're going out of business. Give you the business, get on the business end of all. Going out of business sale, receive all. Free brochure, free brochure. Read the easy to follow assembly instructions, batteries not included. Yeah. Send before midnight tomorrow, terms available. Step right up, step right up, step right up. You got it, buddy. Large print giveth and a small print taketh away. Step right up. You can step right up. You can step right up. Come on.
almost a bridle. Get away from me, can you, boy? Step right up.
Tom Waits, Step Right Up, from his album Small Change. But Tom Waits has a new album, by the way, called Blue Valentines, and we'll be hearing some selections from that in a few minutes. Tom has also just made his film debut in Sylvester Stallone's Paradise Alley, in which he appears as Mumbles. He also wrote some of the music for that, and by the way, has not seen the film. And he's also writing a film called Only a Nickel, which
No. It's called On the Nickel.
On the Nickel.
I wrote a title tune for that. It's called On the Nickel.
And that's not out yet, but it will be out.
It'll come out sometime.
Okay. Well, Tom, your records, you have the kind of voice and the kind of personality on your records that just really invites people to speculate about who you are and what you're really like, and, you know, what kind of background you've had, and whether, you know, you make your voice gruff for your records, or whether you're just like that. Well, let me ask you a little bit about your background. Like, how did you spend your youth?
My ill-spent youth?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I collected baseball cards and, a little beat-up little bicycle and, and tennis shoes. And
We started performing at the age of 19?
Somewhere around in there, yeah. Yeah, I guess I was about 19.
I had said in the introduction a few minutes ago that you used to perform at strip joints, and you corrected me and told me you were a janitor at strip joints.
My ex-brother-in-law, I used to play the baritone in a pit orchestra for a place called Hollywood Burlesque Theater. They used to have a baggy pants, dirty shirt comic named Eddie Ware. He used to say, "Hello there. I'm Eddie Ware," and so David worked in a pit, and place closed down now. The Trock Theater closed down too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
I read that there was an article in the L.A. Times about the Trock Theater closing down. It must be. It's quite an event.
The closing was a big event. Yeah.
I have a buddy of mine who used to go to the Trock Theater all the time. His name's Larry Beezer.
So did you ever, perform in burlesque theater?
No, I worked. My brother-in-law got me a job as a custodian there when I was, about 14 or 15. And,
how were you discovered? Yeah. How did you start making records and,
I was auditioning at some clubs in Hollywood. I met my future manager. Now I've got the full catastrophe, agent and all that garbage. And I was just getting up and doing like four or five songs on a Monday evening. It was really kind of a cruel and unusual punishment every night because they kind of herd you in and herd you out. And nobody heard you anyway. And I met Herb Cohen, who's now my manager. He was out of work, and so, he needed a job just as much as I did. So now we're just like Laurel and Hardy.
Control have you had over the records that you've made? I mean, they very much seem to reflect your personality.
Complete control. I work with Bones Howe in the studio, who's Definitely got a pedigree. He goes back to, you know, the early 50s. He was engineering, records with Miles and Train and Lenny Bruce and that sort of thing. And
you have a lot of jazz musicians on your records. Like on the one we just heard, Shelly Mann is on there, and Lou Tobacken was playing tenor.
Jimmy Huar, I don't play bass. And, I managed to... There's a lot of great cats that play and working out of the studios in Hollywood, but none of them really want to travel, so it makes it difficult to find cats in L.A. that will also travel. So I usually go out with a different group. I'm working now with a quartet. I have Herbert Hardesty on tenor sax, flugelhorn, and trumpet. And Greg Cohen on upright bass, and Arthur Richards on guitar, and Big John Thomasy on drums.
Do you choose the musicians who record with you, the session musicians who sit down for an album?
Yeah, I sit down and discuss it with, Bones, and, kick it around. And, it has a lot to do with who you can get a hold of, too. Sometimes you gotta fly somebody in or something like that.
Let's listen to something from your new album, which is called Valentine's. And boy, was I surprised to to see this one on there.
It's which one?
There's a Place for Us, which was one of the tunes written for West Side Story.
Somewhere, it's called Somewhere.
Yeah, it's called Somewhere.
Stephen Sondheim and Leonard Bernstein.
How come you decided to record it?
I don't know. The whole album didn't seem to have much hope on it, I guess. I killed off about four people and put the rest of them in jail, so I thought I should have at least one tune on there that, had some relief.
If I'm not mistaken, in the movie, she's dying and he shot, or he shot and she's dying, one of them's dying and the other one's kneeling over her.
He died and she was...
Right. So, and his last words are him singing the song. It's one of those great dramatic scenes in musical film. Okay. Well, let's hear Tom Waits' version of "There's a Place for Us."
Somewhere. is a place for a time and a place for whom I am and will have without. Hold my hand and I'll take you there somehow. Someday somewhere.
That was Tom Waits from his new album, Blue Valentines. It's, in case you're wondering, an uncharacteristic song from that album. You know, we were talking as that record was on about, you had said that someone said that you remind them a little of Jack Teagarden, and I agreed with that. And I've been wondering, though, who you listened to when you were young, and if anyone really strongly influenced your singing, whether that's just your voice, you know. And
Moms Mabley and Rod Serling, you know.
Right. Did you listen to a lot of jazz or blues when?
Yeah, I listened to all that stuff. I listened to, well, I was in, 15, so I was mainly listening to just the Hit Parade, James Brown, Ray Charles, and, Martha and the Vandellas, and Marvin Gaye, and, the Coasters, and the Drifters, and Fats Domino, and Little Richard, and like that, But then and I discovered, Prez, Bird, Shearing, and Miles and all that, So I just, But I used to listen to Ken Nordine.
Oh, yeah.
I used to get a kick out of him. I don't listen to much nowadays because I'm
too busy touring.
Yeah, pretty busy.
Singers are supposed to worry about ruining their voice with too much cigarettes or by singing too much or singing too loud.
I'm an exception to that.
Yeah. how do you treat your voice? It's ironic in a way because your voice is rough.
Mm-hmm.
Your voice sounds like a voice that has been exposed to a lot of whiskey and cigarettes, and that's part of your style.
Mm-hmm.
You strike me as someone who's really into hard living and a lot of excess.
Excess? You got any excess on you?
No, you know what I mean. Like probably
about a half a pint of excess while you're up. What do you mean?
Hey,
I would like another cup of coffee, though. It's a little early for. Could I have another cup of coffee? I'm thinking. I'm actually. Travel so much and work every night. You can't really. I have a great deal of responsibility. I have to discipline myself to a large degree, so I don't. I'm not a lush or anything. I like to have a drink just. Every now and then, it kind of helps me with my anxiety, But, I'm not an alcoholic or anything, actually my voice gets better as the day goes on. See, these are the first things that I've said, I just got up, And, I had some ribs and some pig's feet last night. Maybe that's what's wrong.
You've been in a movie now, in Paradise Alley, working with Sylvester Stallone. Mm-hmm. How'd you get involved with that?
He called me at my hotel.
Had you known each other before?
No, I think he saw me in some joint in New York. And I guess kept me in mind. He originally wanted me just to write a couple of songs, and then he kind of created a little part with a couple of lines. You know, it's a small little part. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing to write home about, you know. And I got to sing a few things. And, yeah, it was interesting. I'd never worked seen how a film is made before. So, it was interesting, you know, for me.
How'd you like working with him, with Stallone?
He's a nice man. Yeah, he works very hard.
The movie, you've probably seen, the movie hasn't gotten very good reviews in a lot
of
places.
No, I noticed that. Yeah.
Does that bother you? I mean, do you care?
It ain't my film. He's the one that's pissed off, not me.
So are you going to see it?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of time, you know, to go to the movies out here. I'll wait till it's, I don't know, I'll see it sometime, I'm sure. I'm not in that big of a hurry to see it, because it's a little timid about it.
You're very popular in Philadelphia, and started, I guess, playing at the Main Point, and tonight you're going to be at the Academy of Music, which is a, a big change. Are there cities that for you have become, you know, special cities?
Yeah. I'm real popular in Tokyo and Belgium. And,
are you popular in Tokyo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been over there. I've done two full tours in Japan. And I'm popular in Chicago and New York City and D.C., New Orleans and Los Angeles, and Seattle, and Portland, Omaha. Iowa. I do a lot of traveling, so I do okay.
How do you see your music for you? I mean, is it, is the music the stuff that keeps you going, or, you know, is the music something that, you know, you do because you've got to do something to, you know, make the money to do what you want to do, and you're successful at doing music?
Well, I've been pretty successful. I think I'm more qualified for this than I would be for a career in air conditioning and refrigeration or something. You just kind of narrow it down, you know. And so when I first got into this, I didn't really know what I was doing. I've got a better idea now. I hope I've been developing as a writer. I think that for most performers, the challenge and the reward both are very personal. And for me, it's not really bread or whatever that I use as a barometer for where I'm going. It's more, you know, my own development and, you know, so...
The Eagles have recorded one of your songs. Now, I mean, they're a group that seems to me to be like real opposite from you as a performer, because their stuff is like very pop-ish, you know, very, very Los Angeles. I mean, I don't know if that's where they're from or not, but
I think they're a little antiseptic, if you ask me.
I think it's curious for them to be doing your material. But I guess it's
they just
good,
did one song of mine, you know. They don't particularly blow my skirt up, but, you know, what are you going to do? You know, marry the girl or pay her off.
Do you frequently record other, you know, play other people's material at performances?
Do I do what?
Do you play other people's material at performances when you're performing?
I've been doing Summertime.
Uh-huh.
G-Baby Ain't I Good to You.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Sometimes, you know. But mostly try to, if I do like a standard or something, I usually use it as a, to set the mood for a particular story that I want to tell. Rather than just doing a straight ballad or something, I use it as a, to set up something. And mostly I do, you know, my own stuff. Yeah.
If you don't mind my asking, what kind of house do you live in?
Well, it's not a house, really. It's
apartment?
Kind of, yeah. So I'm right behind a hotel in West Hollywood. You know, it's like, on the corner of Bedlam and Squalor. It's a little It's nothing. It's just a little place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's all right. Got good neighbors and all that, you know. Well, you know, they play Barry White albums all night long, full blast.
Oh, a lot of us know what that's like. you really seem to be the kind of person who, you know, one would hear in like a small and intimate place, an intimate place. I mean, that's mm-hmm. where I think of you performing. And tonight you'll be at the Academy of Music, which is a very large and mm-hmm. formal place, although jazz mm-hmm. musicians and rock musicians frequently play there. Does it change, you know, your feelings towards, you know, what's up with you and mm-hmm. how you can get along with the audience in a place like that?
The feeling of a nightclub or whatever on stage. When I'm in a theater, Leon Redbone and myself left L.A. on the 1st of October, and we've been out since then playing a lot of, 2,500-seat joints, and a lot of toilets, too, but mostly theaters. And so I try to, I try to make it feel like a club. I try to make it feel like a club.
We're going to hear Blue Valentine's, the title track from your new album. You want to tell us a little bit about this album and how you feel about it now that it's out?
I haven't listened to it much, really. But I worked real hard on it. I wrote it all in about 3 weeks in L.A. And recorded it in 7 sessions. That's what it says here. I worked real hard. I was home for 4 months off the road living in Hollywood. And so this is, I think it's comprehensive and it's got some interesting things on it.
You happy with it?
Yeah, I am happy with it.
Okay, well, let's hear the title track from it. Tom Waits, I want to thank you very much for coming to Fresh Air this afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
And again, Tom Waits is going to be at the Academy of Music tonight. This is from his new album called Blue Valentine.
Thank you. send me blue valentines, though I try to remain at large. They're insisting that I love must have a eulogy. Why do I save all this madness here in the nightstand row that'll hung upon my shoulders? Baby, I know I'll be luckier to walk around everywhere I go with this blind, broken heart sleeps beneath my lapel. Instead, these blue valentines to remind me of my cardinal sin. I can never wash the guilt or get these bloodstains off my hands. And it takes a whole lot of whiskey to make these nightmares go away. And I cut my bleeding heart out every night. And I'm gonna die just a little more on each St. Valentine's Day. Don't you remember I promised I would write you these blue valentines, blue valentines, blue Valentine.
Blue Valentine, written and performed by Tom Waits, who is in Philadelphia now to perform this evening at the Academy of Music, along with Leon Redbone, who will be opening. Well, last night in Philadelphia, there were two very good guitarists in town to play at the main point, John Renborn, formerly of the group Pentangle, and Stefan Grossman, a co-founder of the Kicking Mule record label. Well, this morning they came to the WUHY studios to speak with Bob Carlin, the host of Dance All Night, which you can hear every Wednesday from 10:30 till 1 here on WUHY. Well, when they all met here this morning, they opened up with a tune called Why a Duck, which is from a new album which features both Renborn and Grossman.